Be'ezus Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Shisha Asa, the 16th and final chapter in the Ram Masechas Tanaim, and the laws of the claimant and the defendant, in the Sefer Mishpatim Book of Judgments, where in this final paragraph we discuss regarding if the one who's contesting, he himself actually had admitted regarding the obligation to return the peiros in those circumstances, and in regarding that when the person turns out it's not really his, and regarding the prohibition of lying as it applies to these halachas. The Rambam gives halacha off regarding if a witness in the document is the one that's coming to contest it. So Reuven, which just finishes up the topic of chazakas, we were speaking about of Karkov, the previous prakim. Reuven Shemacha lists Shimon Sada. So Reuven selling to Shimon a field. V'hoi Levi me'ed ashtar. And one of the witnesses in the document was Levi. Now Levi's coming to contest the field. Velitin is coming to claim Reuven goes like some men that Reuven, who's selling it to Shimon, actually stole it from him. Saying Shimon, we don't listen to him. We don't pay attention to any of the proofs he's bringing that it's his field. But Ibid calls Chuse and he lost all rights. Because we tell him, how could you come and testify on the sale that Reuven's selling it to Shimon? And now you're coming to contest it as if you're saying that he's selling it to him, but you're saying it's not even his. If Levi testified regarding a document that was written in it, that hasada plainishal Reuven, that one of the boundaries of the field, a different field that's being sold, said, oh, and it talks about the boundaries that the field of that person of Reuven is mitzad mizrach ma'ariv, is on the eastern or the western side. That is hoyel v'asa sadus malachar, since Levi is a witness on this document, which one of the boundaries is making a sign for something else. That it's Reuven's field, not Levi's. Vehei Bashtar, and he's testifying on this document. So even the Chusay has lost his rights. Ben Yochalach Zalari can't come back now and contest. Shemuel, we tell him, Heich Toid Bashtar, how could you have testified on this document? Shekas Abaye, that it says in it, Hasada Azoyz Mitzad Plenya, that this field is on boundering on that person's field. Vetach Zatara Leh, now you come to contest, and it wasn't that guy's field, it was your field. How did you testify? Obviously, you agree that it was that person's field. Halacha Beis. Now, but let's say Toina Eid V'Amar. Let's say the witness comes back with a claim, and he says, "Wait a second. Yes, tell him Echad Husha Sisi Simon. I said on the western or eastern side was that guy's field. I meant one row. It's bounding. It's bordering on his row. But it's not the whole field. Vaisa tell him Asamach Lametzim Bavadu Shal Reuven. That's only that row that's near the boundary that was from Reuven's. Oh, raise a tiny Anshmas. That's a claim that could be heard." And therefore, v'yesh l'la'ara kol asada, so he could contest the whole field, chutz me'asa telem, except for that row. Now, v'ein kol advar mamurim, now everything that we just said is ela be'echad me'edi ashtar shabal la'ara. It's only regarding one of the witnesses of the document. If he's coming to contest, we say, hey, how could you contest when you yourself testified? Avla dayin shekiyim ashtar, but regarding the judge who he validated and verified the document, yesh la'ara, he actually, even though that document which said it was someone else's, not his own, he actually could contest, and the reason that he could claim and he could say, I didn't know what was written in the document. And the reason is, because the judges could validate a document, even though they didn't read it. It's not about reading the content, it's about verifying that the witnesses who testified are true. But the witnesses, they don't sign the document. Only if they first read the whole thing, be doctor goodbye, and they're very precise regarding it. And it says over there, it's someone else's field. How could you have testified? Therefore, that's an indicator not like them, in contrast to that of judges. Halacha Gimel continues regarding, again, this idea that someone who admits then comes to contest. So, Bosh Shimon v'nimlech b'Levi. Let's say Shimon comes to consult with Levi. Omele says to him, look, I'm coming to buy this field from Reuven. And what's your counsel? Should I go ahead and buy it? Levi says to him, yeah, lech ukunei, so go and buy it. Toivi, it's a good piece of property. Yesh loy lelevi la'aro la'o. Levi could contest on that property itself. V'lo ibet chuzi, he hasn't lost his right. Sharon loy osa maisi, he didn't do an action. A conscious to a witness has done something. He hasn't done anything. And v'yesh loy, he could say, ritzayin ni hoyit shetetze mitachas yad Reuven shu alam. I wanted this property to be removed from the possession of Reuven, who is a forcible person, who is a strong arm, and I wasn't able to take back, which is really my property, and I wanted this Shimon to buy it, that I could go claim him in court and take back my field, which he's going to do the right thing and give it back to me. So it's not a proof that he told him to go and buy it. Halacha da'ad, Reuven she'ir al Shimon. If Reuven contests on Shimon, for Shimon, Amar Shimon says, I don't know what you're talking about. I bought this from Levi. But I ate them, Shechati Shnei Chazak, and I have witnesses that could testify that I consumed the utility for 3 years, which provides a Chazakah. So Amalei Reuben, Reuben says to him, what do you mean? I have witnesses that last evening you came to me, you said to me, sell me this field. So Enzurai, that's not a proof. Shimon could respond and to say, yeah, I only wanted to buy from you. I know that you're trying to contest to make believe it's yours. I didn't want to have to go through the court system. Even though if I don't know if it was yours or not, but that doesn't prove that that it's yours versus the person that I bought it from years ago. All similar types of things that wouldn't prove it that it's not his. If he has years of chazaka, then we would establish that it's his. Now, but if Shimon did not come back with this claim, we don't say that claim for him. And we say, hey, you went last night to buy from him. Obviously, it seems to indicate he has witnesses to say that you did. So if he doesn't come up with that claim, so he's got to give it back. He's obviously admitting that it's that person's. But if he does say that claim, that's a good claim. And he does have a chazaka, then he gets to keep it. Halacha hey, regarding the obligation to give back all the pears that were consumed. So Reuben she'ir, so if Reuben contests, and he brings witnesses that it is his field. But Shimon, who's in that property right now, is claiming, no, you sold it to me, and I've been using this field for more than 3 years. Reuben says, yeah, but Gezel Achalti, you were consuming it in robbery. So, whether there was no witnesses that he consumed anything at all, this Shimon, all these years, whether there was one witness who did see that he ate the prayers for the 3 years. Now, generally, when there's an Eid Echad, it's Mechai B'Shumen HaTayr. Here he can't swear, and we generally have a rule that if you can't swear, you have to pay. In this situation, he does not have to give back the pears that he ate. Shadehu, why am I saying Shali Achalti? Yeah, I ate my own. And there's no witnesses that are obligating him in the pears. Because he himself, there's two cases. One, either there was no witness at all, and he's just admitting. So in that case, when he's admitting himself, which obviously is not to obligate himself because he's saying that he ate his own. So that's one case. And regarding when he brings a witness that testifies that he ate it for 3 years, which is not enough because he needs two witnesses. But he's coming to strengthen the ability of the one who did consume it to say, look, I know it. I saw him eat it 3 years. It must be his chazaka. Now, although it's actually not helping him, but had there been another witness with that one witness, it actually would have maintained the field in the possession of the Shimon who has been there all these years. So you cannot say the rule, oh, whenever two people would obligate money, one witness obligates an oath, because the two would not obligate him. The two would actually support him and actually maintain him. So the fikr, therefore, Yeshua Reuben has his shalei macha. So all Reuben does, he says, it takes a rabbinic oath that he didn't sell it. Then the field goes back to him. And Shimon takes his rabbinic oath that he doesn't owe him any pears at all, because he claims it was his field. The apostate is going to be exempt, but the one aide who actually says that you did eat it is not going to obligate him, because if it's coming to support him, it cannot come to be a prosecution on him. And although if, let's say, Reuben was bringing it, it would be a prosecution, Shimon's aid echad cannot be a prosecution on him. If there's two witnesses who testify on Shimon that he ate pears, but less than the requisite amount of 3 years of establishing chazaka, so then Yachzer called pears shalchay, to give back all the pears that he ate, because that didn't establish a chazaka. To the contrary, and the other person's claiming that it's his, and he has the right to say it's his because you don't have chazaka and it's less than 3 years, and you ate pears, you have to give back those pears. Now, even if it was one witness, he would have to give back based on what he's testifying. Because he's not really refuting the witness. Elohim, he's saying, Emes, he's saying the truth. And I ate the produce for the 2 years, but it was eating my own. But Nimsim comes out, but he's obligated an oath because the prosecution's bringing you only 2 years, 2 years, not a chazaka. And Vein Yechel Shabe, he cannot swear because he's admitting, he's just saying it's his, so Mashalim, so therefore he has to go ahead and pay the produce of those 2 years. If it was 3 years, then no, that would be a chazaka. But the 2 years is, yeah, that's not a stamina chazak, and then therefore he has to pay that. Halacha zayin, kol mechuyav lahachzar peiros, whoever's obligated to give back the produce, im lo hayudun, if it wasn't known how much that is, and the ein bezin yuchin l'sharos, and the courts cannot evaluate it k'shar habatim, like they can evaluate for the prices of houses, of kiyizim, and things like that, so you do, which is well known, ela hayu peiros ilan lepeiros sadash, and you do, rather, the produce of the tree, or that of the field, is not known to how much the quantity that he ate was, So since the claimant doesn't have a definite claim to know how much payers were eaten, so rather the defendant, he'll pay whatever he admits that he consumed. And the plaintiff makes a chayrim, an excommunication, whoever did eat more is not paying, and that's all he could do to the defendant. Whoever gives back property that he had up until now, when he lost the case, he doesn't have a chazaka, he's got to give it back. So if he had actually leased it out to others when he was in possession, when he was doing his chazaka on this field, and the renters are still around, so we extract from them the rent a second time, because they were paying rent, but it was to the wrong owner. He doesn't get the chazaka. So they pay rent a second time to the real owner of the property. And then they go and they claim and they take to court the one who actually leased it to them, which was Makam Shein Shalei, a place that wasn't really his, halachically. Halacha Tess ends up these halachas regarding the prohibition of making false claims to further one's agenda in these cases. So let's Asla Adam Litin Tain Neshekin. It's forbidden of a person to make a false claim, Kedila Avas Adin, to distort the judgment, or Kedila Akvar, to hold it back. Ketz HaHau, so what does that mean? So Hoyneshe B'Chaveid Amanam. Someone was, and this is regarding Tain Venitin, this is the halachas of court cases of claimants and plaintiffs and defendants. So we're ending off with this theme. Let's say Hoyneshe B'Chaveid Amanam. Someone was a creditor was collecting by someone else, owes him 100 dinar. Don't make a claim of 200. Why would you do that? So that he should admit to the 100, which we know that he owes. And then he'll be obligated an oath because of he's only admitting to part, which he really does only owe 100. But then if you get him to swear, which he's going to be swearing to the truth, then you'll be able to make him take other oaths because of Gilgul Shvuah. So you're not allowed to do that, even though you have an ulterior motive over here. Or let's say he owed him 100 dinar, and the defendant is prepared to pay that. But the plaintiff, being someone who's doing something that's deceptive, makes a claim on him for 200, of which is a false claim. We all know between us that I only owe him 100. He shouldn't say, okay, look, in court I'll deny the whole thing. And because I don't want to have to make a shvu and then all these other types of oaths. And then I'll admit to him, we know that I only 100. I shouldn't be obligated an oath that they'll make you shvu and someone else. No, you're not allowed to do that. Neither the plaintiff or the defendant is allowed to lie to go ahead and get some other agenda met, even if it's true. Halacha Yod, Hayu Shleisha Noishin Mana Be'echad. If three people were creditors for 100 dinar by one person, B'chaf Ben, and he denies the claim that they're having. Lo Yeh Echad Teveir Shnei Me'idim. You know what they're going to do? Which we're saying they shouldn't do? They'll have one person be the claimant, the plaintiff, and then the other two, who's also partners with that, they'll just be the witnesses. And then when they get the money out, because you have two witnesses, they'll then divide it. No, again, it's regarding things like this and similar things. His akas of Amad the Pasuk warns and says, from a false word, one should distance themselves, even though it's true that he really owes him and he's just denying. You now go ahead and do these deceptive techniques to get what is really owed through a false mean. That's midvashek atirchak. Slik lo hilchas termanit misat shemai. We have concluded the laws of the claimant and defendant with heavenly assistance.